Welcome to the podcast of New Creation Christian Center, the path to genuine life where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God. My name is Pastor Marquise, and we are a non-denominational church led by the living and active Word of God in the heart of Seattle, Washington, by Pastors Harold and Annis Faye Franklin. Whether this is your first time, second time, be sure to subscribe and share this with those that need it. Now join me and be ready to live and learn from the Word of God.
Boldly at the forefront and be able to go at war. And so the first scripture I want to go to, we're going to talk about a few points. I'm not going to be before you long because I'm short in size and I'm also the short pastor here at the church. But we're going to go ahead, and the 3 points we're going to go over is trust, faith, and we must pray. So the first one, going into trust, we're going to go to Hebrews 11 and verse 30. When you have it, say amen. That's Hebrews 11 and verse 30. It says, by faith, the walls of Jericho fell after the army marched around them for 7 days. By faith, the walls fell. A lot of times we're going through different things in our life and we don't know how we're going to make it through. We don't know how we're going to pay this bill. We don't know how we're going to get to that next level in Him. But it takes faith, and it takes us trusting in God to push us to keep going, to believing, to knowing that He's going to handle every situation. God reminded me of a story we may have seen. It was going on Facebook and it was going on YouTube. And this lady was in her shop working. And while she's working in her shop, a man came in with a gun and he said he wanted to rob her. And she took a bold stance and she began to pray and plead the blood of Jesus. And he was just pointing the gun and she said, in the name of Jesus, you get out of this place. You're not going to rob my store. And as she began to pray and began to believe in the God that she served, he moved, backed up. He was scared to turn his back. I don't know if he was scared of her or scared of the Jesus in her, but I believe it was scared of the Jesus in her, because she had no weapons, but she took her stance and knew that the God she served was going to be there and fight that battle she was facing. And so he backed up and ran, didn't just walk out and close the door. He ran out the store. And that's what the enemy would do when we have a bold stance in Jesus, when we're ready to stand firm on the word we believe, when we're ready to take hold of this word and not just read it, but apply it and believe the power it has. Amen. The next scripture we're going to go into is Psalms 37. Psalms 37, we're going to start at verse 3. It says, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Take delight in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in Him, and He will do this. He will make your ways, He will make righteous rewards shine like the dawn. He will, your vindication will be the noonday. So when God showed me this, He said to begin to trust. That was the first thing He said, trust in the Lord and do good. You can't just do good just to say, okay, I'm a good person, I'm doing the right thing. But we have to trust in the Lord and do good at the same time. We can't just say, okay, I'm going to get by because I'm a good person. But we have to trust in God to order our steps. I'm not just doing this just to do it, but I'm doing it because God has called me to be that good person, to do those good things. Amen? Amen. Amen. We have to trust, amen? We have to trust. There's some areas in our life that we need to trust in. Me, for instance, he said, yeah, I always say, do I really have to preach? Because part of me is, I'm accepting the call, but I haven't, my flesh still says, you're inadequate. But we have to trust and know that, okay, God, you're birthing something in me. So you're going to pull it out because you spoke this. You're going to pull it out. But we have to present ourselves to say, okay, I'm going to do this. So then I was talking to him because our anniversary is next weekend. And he said, I said, babe, so you're doing a series, right? So you can speak next Saturday. And he said, no, babe, it's your Saturday. You're supposed to be preaching. I said, okay. Okay, and as I was preparing my word, God said, I did it this time. Why won't I do it next week? Don't just think, okay, I'm going to take a vacation because it's my anniversary and I'm going to slide back. We're still going to be at church, but I'm just going to. No, he said, I called you, and I'm working on this trusting you. This is a war that I have with my flesh that I haven't. I'm not giving over to my flesh. I have to take the stance and say, okay, I'm trusting in God, and I'm going to be faithful in that which he called me to do. Amen. So the next one we're going to go to is faith. We need faith. We're going to go to Romans chapter 5. Starting at verse 1. It says, therefore, I hear pages moving. I'll wait. It says, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace. We have the peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into the grace which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that the sufferings produces perseverance. Perseverance produces character. Character produces hope. And that hope does not just put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us. You see, at just the right time, when we were powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. When we were powerless, when we felt we were down and out, when we felt, okay, it's just me, and I really don't even know who I am, so I'm conforming to the things of the world. I'm changing the way I act, the way I live, because I don't know who I am. You'll hear me when I pray, I say we need to know whose we are, so we can know who we are. If you don't know that you are a child of the Most High Living God, you're not going to know who you are. You're going to just conform and say, okay, I need to follow the hottest trend. I need to dress a certain way. I need to act a certain thing. I need to be a certain way. Why? Because I'm following the trend of the world. But that's not what God called us to do. He said he called us for a time such as this. And he wants to produce perseverance for us to keep trusting him, keep building, and so he can produce character in us and giving us a hope. He's given us all hope to know that God's not done with us yet. He can take something that everyone said was nothing and make it into something wonderful. Amen. The next scripture I'm going to go to is Esther. It's one of my favorite books. We got to talk about Esther. We're going to go to chapter 4, and we're going to start at verse 6. So starting at verse 6, it says, excuse me about the names. I'm going to try and pronounce them as good as I can. All right, so verse 6, it says, so the haddock went to Mordecai in the open square of the city, in front of the king's gate. And Mordecai told him everything that had happened, including the exact amount of money Haman had promised to pay the royal treasury for the destruction of the Jews. He also gave him a copy of the text of the edict for the annihilation, which had been published in Susa. To show Esther and explain to her. And he told her that he told him to instruct her to go to the king's presence and beg for mercy and plead with him for her people. Haddock went before or back. He went back and reported to Esther what Mordecai had said. Then he instructed him, or then she instructed him to say to Mordecai, all the king's officials and the people of royal provinces, which have been any men or women who approaches the king in the inner courts without being summoned, the king has but one law, and that they must be put to death unless the king extends a gold scepter to them and spares their lives. But 30 days have passed since I was called to go to the king. When Esther's words were reported to Mordecai, he sent back this answer. Don't you think that because you are in the king's house, you alone of all the Jews will escape. For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance of the Jews will arise from another place. But you and your father's family will perish. And who knows but that you have come to a royal position for such a time as this. Then Esther sent this reply to Mordecai. Go and gather together all the Jews who are in Susa and fast for me. Do not eat, do not drink for 3 days, night or day. And I and my attendants will fast for you, or will fast for fast with you, sorry. When this is done, I will go to the king. Even though it is against the law, if I perish, I perish. So Mordecai went away and carried out all that Esther's instructions were. There's a lot in this. She said that if anyone went before the king and he didn't hold out a scepter, they were summoned to death. This right here is a war, because you're saying, I could die. I could die. So she said, let me get on my face before God. Let me pray. Let me fast. And if I perish, then I perish. But at least I went and I did what I know I'm supposed to do on behalf of the people of God. Some of us are going to be called to do something that is really hard for us to do. And we say, God, it's just me. Are you really talking to me? That message was for me. Am I really supposed to be doing this? God's really talking to you. And it's time for you to take that stance and say, God, you told me to do it. If this is what you want me to do, I'm going to do it. I'm going to go boldly, and I'm going to do it. She had to trust in the God that she served, that he would fight that battle, that she would find favor with the king. Have you been trusting that God's going to give you favor, that God's going to work it out, that God's going to prepare the way ahead of you? We have to learn to trust, amen? You know, a lot of times we're at our jobs and we try and hide in the background. And God said, you need to step out and begin to trust me. And know that if God be for you, who can be against you? As you begin to pray, as you begin to seek his face, and you put on that full armor, and you're ready to go and answer the call and do what he called you to do. We need to set up the atmosphere in our jobs. Take some time and begin to pray for the people and all the different positions at our jobs. And then as we go in there, take 5 minutes and begin to pray right before you start anything and say, God, how can I be a light? God, how can I show the people your love? Because that's a war that we have going on. We're saying, well, I'm saved and I live saved, but I don't have to share it with them. I don't have to show them. But as you love on them with the love of Christ, they see there's something different. There's something different about you. It's interesting, as I've been at my job, there's a few ladies that have been over us, and I noticed I've been praying and praying and praying for them. And one of the ladies says, there's just something different about you. You're nice and you're kind and you should be frustrated, but there's something different. A pastor spoke on Friday about fragrance. There's something different you should be giving off to the people around you. They should be seeing the love of Christ through you, amen? But we have to learn to trust and to have faith. The next scripture I'm going to go to is 2 Chronicles chapter 20. And we're going to read the first verse through the fourth. And then we'll jump down. We'll stay in the same chapter, but we'll jump down to some other verses. Starting at the first verse, it says this. After this, the Moabites and Amorites with some Midianites came to wage war against Jehoshaphat. Then some came and told Jehoshaphat, saying, a great multitude is coming up against you from beyond the sea, from Assyria, and they are in Hazon Tamar, which is in Gandhi. And Jehoshaphat feared, and he set himself to seek the Lord and proclaim a fast throughout all Judah. So Judah gathered together and asked for help from the Lord. And from the cities of Judah, they all came to seek the Lord. If we just stop right there. So he was told that people are coming. Not just one city, but a few cities are coming to wage war against him. And his flesh stopped and feared, but then he recognized, I need to seek the Lord. I need to seek the Lord. And he proclaimed a fast, not just in his household, but throughout all the city. They got together and they began to fast and to pray. There's some things that only happen by fasting and praying. We need to get on our face before God, not just try and do it on my own and say, okay, I got this. A lot of times it feels good to say, okay, I got this. But we need to say, God, you got this? Because I can't do it by myself. I need your help. So they got together and they fast and prayed. And we're going to jump down to verse 15. And as they prayed, listen to what God had to say. He said, listen, King Jehoshaphat and all who live in Judah and Jerusalem, this is what the Lord says to you. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army. For the battle is not yours, but it's God's. If we just stop right there, we get discouraged and we think the battle is just us, but it's not ours. God already paid the price. He already won the battle for us. He already won the battle for us. And we have to realize that it's not ours, it's the Lord's, and he already fought it. He already won. The next scripture is, we're going to go to verse 21. Verse 21, it says, and when he had consulted all the people, he had appointed those that should sing to the Lord and who should praise the beauty of his holiness. As they went before the army, they were saying, praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. And if we go to the next verse, it says, now when they had begun to sing praises and to praise the Lord, set ambushes against the people of Ammon and Moab, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah. And when they were defeated, for the people of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir to utterly kill and destroy them. And when they had made it to the end of the inhabitants of Mount Seir, they helped destroy one another. So basically, he caused confusion. So that they went out to begin to praise the God they served. They didn't even, they put on their war clothes and they got ready and they began to praise God, begin to lift their hands and begin to give God praise. As they begin to praise the other armies that were coming up to fight them, two of them said, okay, let's get an alliance and let's beat the other one. So they got together and they began to beat up the other one and they got them done. And then they went to wage war against one another because God caused such a confusion to go on. So they killed each other off. So the people that were with Jehoshaphat, they didn't have to kill nobody. Why? Because God already paid it in full. God already had won the battle. God already won the battle. You see, there is another story that I was told about. There was a big tornado coming, and this lady knew who her God was. I'm not saying go stand out and say, God, I'm going to stop this tornado unless God tells you. But she went out there, and she went, and she stretched her hand, and she began to pray. And as you watch on the video, the tornado is getting closer. And she begins to pray, and it's like it stops. It can't get any closer. And she begins to pray and call upon the name of Jesus and says, I command you in the name of Jesus to get out of here and not even come close to our house. And as she's praying, as she's believing, and as she's speaking the name of Jesus, because at the name of Jesus, every knee must bow and every tongue must confess. There is power in the name of Jesus. If you don't get anything else out of this, there is power in the name of Jesus. So as she began to pray, that tornado had to move. It had to move. There's a tornado going on in some of our lives, and we need God to move that. But we have to stand in the boldness of God and take a stance and say, God, I need you to handle this. And tell our storm how big our God is. And not say, God, you see this thing? God, I need you to get this. No, God, I thank you for the boldness you give me. So I speak to you right now in the name of Jesus. Be removed out of my life in the name of Jesus. We have to speak with that boldness, that authority. You may say, I'm small in size, but as you're small in size, know that God has created you to pack a punch. No matter what size you are or what package you come in, God has created you. You still can have boldness. You still can have fire. You can still have perseverance and determination to fight the attacks of the devil. There's two quotes that God reminded me of. And the first one I saw this week, it said, you don't conquer the mountain without a climb. A lot of times we say, okay, I'm going to get to the top of this mountain, but it takes you going through some things. I don't know if any of you have climbed a mountain before. I know I haven't, but I heard it's tough. If you're tried, you can slip. Some people slip a little bit, but you're saying, okay, I see a goal in mind, and I want to reach the top. I want to reach the top. Because you're almost there. Sometimes we get close and we're almost ready for that breakthrough. But we say, oh man, I'm tired. I can't do this. Because you're trying to do it on your own might. But you need to begin to pray and call the reinforcements in and say, God, I need your help right now. I need your ministering angels to help me through this. God, I know that with you, I can do anything. So God, give me strength. And as you begin to persevere and fight through it, you can handle it. You can beat what you thought you couldn't beat. Amen. God reminded me just now of one of my favorite movies. It's called Facing the Giants. And in one of the practices, after the coach began to get away with God and he began to trust God and say, God, this is your team. How do you want me to train them? How do you want me? And he began to pray with them and let them know how to take on the characteristics of a Christian and being saved. And a lot of them got saved. And as he's training them in one practice, one of the boys, he said, okay, I want you to do a bear crawl. I don't know if you guys know about the bear crawl, but we had to do it in a boot camp I was in, and I thought I was going to die. Chamien decided to come and give us a warm-up. This is a side note real quick. He decided to give us a warm-up in this boot camp I was in. I'm saying, okay, it's a warm-up, so it's going to get the blood flowing. We're going to be able to do it. No, I felt like I was going to die. I was like, okay, the warm-up, the workout's done. That was the workout, right? He's like, no, that's just the warm-up. But we had to get down and do a bear crawl, and we had to crawl probably from here all the way to back there. So that's not that far. But to me, I was like, okay, I'm going to die. My legs is hurting. I'm tired. And we had to go back and forward a few times. And I said, please don't have Chamien warm us up anymore, please. Because I felt the pressure. But in the movie, so he had the young man do a bear crawl. And he said, you know, I'm going to make it a little harder. And so he had another boy on his back. And he had to walk. He had to do the bear crawl with the young man on his back, and he had to be blindfolded because he didn't want him to get to a certain point and stop. And the goal in mind was to get to halfway, just halfway, the 50-yard line. And so he's going, and he said, "I know I'm there. I know I'm there." But because of his coach, he knew what was in him. And he knew that he could push him to go a little bit further. If you just call upon God and you have support around you, you have leadership around you speaking to you, you can be pushed to go a little bit further. You'll hold on just a little bit longer. You'll begin to trust a little bit harder. And so he began to push him to keep going, keep going. He said, I know I'm almost there. He said, don't give up. Just give me all you got. Give me your very best. Don't quit. And as we begin to give our very best, there's a mighty thing that God will do. As we give our best, he's going ahead of us and he's making it plain. He's pleading our case. He's already paving the way as we begin to give our best. And so the guy is going, and he's like, I know I'm there. I know I'm there. And finally, he drops, and he said, you're there. You made it. And he said, that was longer than the 50-yard line. He said, you're in the end zone. You're in the end zone. And that's what you can do. With God on your side, you can go the full distance, far beyond what you think. You may say, okay, I'm just going to teach Bible studies, and that's all God wants me to do. I'm just going to teach the Bible studies. He said, no, I'm calling you higher. I'm pushing you forward. Us taking that stance and being in the war and accepting the call God has for us, he can push us further. Amen. This is my last quote, and I'm going to be done. It's a quote by Rick Warren. It says, the deepest level of worship is praising God in spite of pain, trusting him during trial, surrendering while suffering, and loving him when he seems distant. The deepest level of worship is praising God in spite of pain, trusting during trial, surrendering while suffering, and loving him while he seems distant. I'm going to say it one more time because Marquise, he's grabbed a hold of this, and it's just too good. So it says, the deepest level of worship is praising God in spite of pain. A lot of times that's hard for us to do. That's hard for us to do. I know when I had issues with my gallbladder, I was like, help me, Lord. And I was trying to praise. I was like, I just need to worship. And a lot of times I had to get away out the room because I was moving too much. Marquise, like, man, you seem like you're about to have a baby in the bed. You're moving too much. And so I had to go, and I would be on the couch, and I'm trying to pray, and I'm just like, Lord, help me. In spite of the pain, it's hard to worship and to praise. And it says to trust him during a trial. When we're being tested and tried, it's hard to say, okay, God, I trust you. It's hard to say, okay, God, handle this situation. I trust you. And then surrendering while you're suffering, while you're going through, to say, God, not my will, but your will be done. God, I give it all to you. I surrender all to you. And then loving him when he seems distant. A lot of times we say, God, I don't hear God. I don't feel like I'm getting in his presence. I don't feel close to him. Well, we have to remind ourselves who moved away. God doesn't move away from us. We take a step away from him, like, God, I got this. I could do this. And then we're like, God, I can't hear you when we need you. I can't hear you. He said, you stepped away from me. You need to come back and open your ears and really hear what I'm saying. It may not be good for you to hear at this moment because you need to be broken down a little bit. I need to get on the level that you're on and make it plain for you. But he said, I'm here. We got to love him while he even feels distant. Lord God, we just thank you so much for this word. We ask that you continue to open our ears and hear all that you have for us this day. That we take a bold stance, that we will become a new breed by trusting, praying, having faith, and leaning on you. God, we thank you right now. We ask that you open our ears to hear all that the head pastor, Pastor Harold, has to say, and help us to trust in you. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for spending time with us here at New Creation Christian Center. Feel free to join our worship services on Saturday at 7 p.m. and Sunday at 11 a.m. located at 5150 South Cloverdale Street, Seattle, Washington, 98118. Visit our website, newcreationwa.org. New Creation Christian Center, where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God.